Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
I had a vision of Jesus walking with Jairus and on the way to his daughter's house. And what struck me was when the ruler of the synagogue came and said, "Don't bother him anymore. She's dead. Don't have any more hope. Time to get into mourning for your daughter." And Jesus, it says, when he heard the words, turned to the ruler of the synagogue, not to Jairus, and said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He didn't say that to the father. He said it to the guy who brought the negative message. And it just strikes me so, in our culture, our society right now, there are so many negative messages. Now, there's nothing wrong with being informed, but you can roll in it too much. And then you start to smell like it when you're rolling it. Okay. And then you start to talk about it. Then it starts to consume you. And then you have a hard time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You start talking about everything that's on the news, and pretty soon you're going to be a weak person. You got to get away from it. You've got to be able to. Now, one of the best ways for me, I'm just sharing something, is when I'm riding in the truck, I talk the opposite of what I've been seeing. And it just reminds me of Genesis 1, where the Lord came and looked at the earth, and it says it was gross darkness covered the earth. I don't know what gross darkness is. I mean, there are times when the moon isn't out and we don't have any streetlights where I live. We just got indoor toilets. We're thankful for that. But there's times you can go outside, you can't see your hand out here. It's so dark out in the woods. And I can't imagine what the Lord thought about as he's looking at his creation. And it's a mess. And he didn't start highlighting the mess. He started speaking the light into the mess. And I want to encourage you, there's nothing wrong with understanding what the mess is. But don't leave it there. Don't walk away and say, "Oh, ain't it awful." Speak into the mess. I don't care if it's your family, your health, your finances, your future, your destiny in God, whatever it is that's on your heart, don't leave it on the poo-poo side of things. Get it to the other side. And the way to do that, I believe scripturally, is speaking. Because there's something about your words. When you hear your own words driving in a pickup truck, pretty soon you start having hope starts to get welling up in you. And we're living in a time where everything on the news is negative. Look at the world. It's not just America. Look at the world. We're going down a road, and there's not a whole lot in the world to be happy about. And I think it's God's design. Because everybody's been getting happy on things they shouldn't be getting happy on. And God now, people are starting to shake, rattle, and roll in their just that thought process, like, what is going on? What's going on in our government? What's going on in our school systems? What's going on in life? Boy and girl things. You walk into a thing and it says all genders on the bathroom door. What? I mean, we got crazy. But don't leave it there. Start speaking. God created man and woman. God created little boys and little girls. Speak it. And that way you know where you stand and you're not walking away shaking your head going, "Ain't it awful?" You're speaking the word of the Lord into the atmosphere. Just like he did over the earth. And things came into being because of those words. I promise you, you start speaking these things, and they will come. It reminded me of what you were saying. You're talking about all the negative things that were out there, and how they can have an look. They can have a real effect on you. You can become a very miserable person very shortly, just watching the news. And ain't it awful? And you know, you can start figuring about where you're going to dig the hole in the ground to hide from everything. I mean, it isn't happy times out there, but it's happy times in here. Because we have a hope, and we don't just have a hope that things can get squared away. We have someone that can square them away. So, Lord, I just give you this group of people. I pray even now the words that come out of their mouth are not fearful words. Like Jesus said to them, don't be afraid, just believe. And that's what I say to you this morning. Whatever's going on in Jersey City, whatever's going on in your family, your finances, your health, don't be afraid, just believe. With that, I'll bring up Shirley Goodness.
Thank you. Amen. It's always good to be here. The Spirit of God always comes in an amazing way, because I think the hunger for Him is here, and it just draws Him. So what I'm going to share with you this morning is just out of my regular, everyday Bible time that God spoke to me this past week, and it just, you know, it may not be new to some of you, but it was new again to me. And I'm going to start in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus heals the blind beggar, starting at verse 35. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. As Jesus and his followers arrived at Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting by the roadside. When he heard the crowd approaching, he asked, "What's all this commotion about?" "It's Jesus," they said. "Jesus the Nazarene is passing by." The blind beggar shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity and show me mercy." Those in the front of the crowd scolded him and warned him to be quiet. But the blind beggar screamed even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Suddenly, Jesus stopped and directed those nearby, "Bring the man over to me." When they brought him before Jesus, he asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Master," he said, "please, I want to see." Jesus said, "Now you will see. Receive your sight this moment, for your faith in me has given you sight and new life." Instantly, he could see again. His eyes popped open, and he saw Jesus standing in front of him. He shouted loud praises to God, and he followed Jesus. And when the crowd saw what happened, they too erupted with shouts of praise to God. Now, we don't know if this blind man had been blind from birth. It doesn't say here. He could have gotten blind later in life and maybe saw for a portion in his life. We don't know. But what we know is he was blinded by his circumstances in life. He was blinded. And as he sat there blind, he had to beg every single day. People would bring him out. They would lay cloth out. And he had to rely on those walking past him to have mercy on him, to give him what he needed to even live. It's very interesting because when people lose one of their senses, their other senses usually become a lot stronger. And he knew by the difference of the sound coming into that city that day that there was a change in what was coming in. God, give us ears to hear the new sound coming into our region. Let us hear your voice in a way we have not heard it in the past. Even if we are a people blinded by our circumstances, it could be we were born in circumstances that keep us blinded for the moment to the gospel. When you're born into families that do not follow the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are blinded to that gospel until the light shines on you to see it. So may we even be discerning for the sound of your presence in our life in every situation we find ourselves in. You may be blinded in your business situation because you may not have what you need to move forward in that situation. But I have news for you. The sound of the Spirit of God can come into you and give you the revelation you need to move forward in that business. What is the new strategy? What is the new thing you're supposed to do that will bring increase to your prosperity? Why? Because the scripture tells us that these gifts were given to us to profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. Revelation is given to us to profit in every arena of our life. And so he heard the different sound. Praise God. Just put your hands on your ears right now. Lord, let us hear that different sound when you come in. And he said, what's going on? What is this? And the people around him said, it's Jesus the Nazarene. And he's coming through Jericho today. Have you ever been to Jericho? I have many times. It's very dry, hot, and dusty. Thank God that Elijah healed the bitter waters there when he was in the earth. And the minute he heard this commotion get close, he began screaming out to Jesus for mercy. Everybody around him told him to shut up. Don't we find that in our own lives sometimes when we are just on the brink of breakthrough into the new, coming out of those old models, what God said today, moving into a new place, spiritually or physically, coming into a whole new level of revelation as you're reading your Bible every morning or evening, whenever you do it. There are voices that say to you, stop crying out for the more. This is good enough what you've got. We've always done it this way. Or we may have done this for the last 20 years, but guess what? God is new every morning. His grace and mercy and love are new every single morning for us. And we should never allow ourselves to be trapped in yesterday. It doesn't matter who says that to us. We've got to get past the voices, and I want to say this, the stagnant voices. You know, when somebody's stagnant, it doesn't want you to become free. And he got even louder. He had to press through the negativity of what was surrounding him. I mean, we've heard this story a zillion times. And Jesus, going along the road, stopped and said, bring that man to me. Bring him. So the people that were saying to him, be quiet, were then commanded, no, you're not going to stop him. You're going to bring him to me. You see that? And so God can even use those things that entrap us in the last season to propel us forward to him. And he said, what do you want? And the man said, I want to see. I'm blind. I've been blinded by my circumstances. I've been blinded by the issues of life. I want to see. And at that moment, his eyes popped open. And Jesus said, your faith has caused this. But it didn't just heal his blindness. The scripture says it gave him new life. You know, when we're coming out of a blinding situation, when we hear that voice and we get delivered from what we need to be delivered from of the past, it could be a good thing. It could be what in the past what was really good, but it was so good that it blinded us to get to the even better. It is. It's so true. Sometimes I think it's harder to come out of the really good into the better. Because we don't see that it's the better until we get there. But he not only could see, but he gave him new life. And this is what God is saying to us right now. There's many things that we've been blinded to by our circumstances. But there is a whole new level of new life, shifting, new changes, new paradigms of the Spirit of God that we've never experienced before. I remember being a Christian and not being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I love the Lord. And the Spirit of God would visit me. I remember being 10 years old in my bedroom, and the Spirit of God would come down over me in my bedroom and give me a desire to read the red words in my Bible that my grandmother had given me. I didn't know it was Holy Spirit. I thought Holy Spirit was this white ghost thing that maybe hovered around. Honestly, I mean, that's what I thought. We'd known him as Holy Ghost. You know, and so you get what I'm saying to you. You know, and I can remember back then, I didn't even know there was more for us at that time. And then you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're living your life, and then you find out there's baptisms of boldness. You know, there's all these different baptisms we can walk into that we didn't even know we were missing in the past experience. So, Jesus is walking along the road in every one of our lives today. Every one of our lives. He's coming down the road. Recently, he searches for us. He's searching for us. We don't need to find him, really. He's finding us. We receive him when he comes, but he's looking for us. I have a very good friend, one of my best friends, and she has this sister, and the sister was not born again. She was not saved. Very intelligent, high up in one of the biggest companies in America. I mean, the woman was a success, but she wasn't saved, and she was in a lot of things that were psychological, they were Eastern religion-ish, you know, all these different things that would fill the gap of the need of her spirit, and it filled it to a measure. You know, it made her comfortable, and, you know, she could psychologically, settle things within herself, but she wasn't born again. And we've been praying for her and praying for her. Well, last summer, when my friend came up to visit, we all went out for pizza, and the sister came. And while we were sitting there at the pizza joint in South Jersey, we have the best pizza. It's called Naples Pizza. They're from Italy. It's really, really good. And when we go overseas and come back, that's the first place we go for Naples Pizza. And
the woman there has a bigger mustache than me.
Yeah, yeah. So, forgive my husband. He's rude. But that's why we love him. He says what we think. no filter, yeah. So, anyway, we're sitting there at the pizza table, and she's going on and on about emotional intelligence and different things that she's studying, you know, and all of a sudden, this glow comes over the top of her, I saw the Spirit of God, and she said, you know what happened to me this week? This is as she started to say it. She said, somebody gave me this little plant. She said, and it was beautiful, and the leaves were all out. And she said, and when I went to go to bed, she said, I thought it died, but the leaves had folded up like this. Well, it's called a prayer plant. Some of us know that. She didn't know it. And when she said that, it's called a prayer plant. You see, she was seeking all these other ways of meditation, psychology, all this stuff, to pray. Like she was thinking her repeating things out into the atmosphere. No, nothing about God. And when this light came over her, the Spirit of God hit me, and I said, that is a prayer plant. She went, it is? I said, yes. I said, but here's the thing. God is speaking to you personally by this gift. That's your way to personal freedom and personal peace. Isn't to do what you're doing, but now you're to try prayer. You're to try to speak to him in that way. And she began to weep at the pizza table in the pizza parlor because the Spirit of God just hit her. We did not lead her to Christ. That was not her time to come to Christ. I'm just saying. But he was moving on her in unusual ways through other people that weren't even saved. In other words, Jesus was coming down her road. And she was beginning to hear the sound of him coming. So, fast forward to a few weeks ago. She bought this beautiful condominium right on the beach. And I was dropping my friend off, this woman's sister, to visit with her. Well, she was there, so I went in to say hi to her because we know her. And we were sitting there, and it was this cute condominium. And you could feel the presence of God in this condominium. Now, she's not born again yet. And I said, how did this condominium come about? How did you find this place? She said, it found me. She said, I've been looking for a beach house. And she said, all of a sudden, one day, I'm doing something, and it popped up on my phone. And she said, I looked at my daughter, and I said, I'm going to go look at this place. And they went to look at it. And the daughter said, Mom, don't get this. You've got to redo the whole thing. You know, it needs floors. Some of the bathrooms need to be redone. And she said, but there was something in me that I knew that this place was for me. She said, now, I've not told anybody this. She said, but the day I bought it, she said, I had this picture of myself. She said, I don't even know what to say, but it was like a vision or a movie. She said, and I saw myself dancing with my arms up on the beach in a white robe. Now, let me tell you something. The minute she said that, sitting in that chair, the Spirit of God fell over her. I got up out of my seat and went over to her and said, that was the robe of salvation. And I said, Jesus brought you here for you to find him because he's been waiting for you. And she gave her heart to the Lord right then and there. Right then and there. He was coming down her road. Faith works in time and space. That's Acts chapter 17. He has predetermined the boundaries of your habitation. So in that habitation, you can reach and grope for him with everything that is in you. There is a place and a time that each one of us come to Christ or receive from him what he has for us. He predetermines that. That condominium was where she had been designated to meet him because he was there waiting for her. Is that amazing? Just like this blind man. He wasn't sitting there by accident. Then we go on to the next chapter and we see Zacchaeus. We see Jesus continuing down the road through Jericho, and there's all this crowd around him, probably the blind man with him now, because it says he followed Jesus, shouting and, you know, worshiping him. The crowd got even louder and larger, and Zacchaeus couldn't see for the crowd, but he spotted a tree. And he ran over and he climbed that tree. We don't know what our provision is to find Christ. It might be a tree. It might be a need at a bakery. Or it might be when we go to ShopRite and have to get something. And there will be someone positioned there that will help you see Christ. His was a tree. Zacchaeus was short-sighted. He was short, the scripture says. and he couldn't see. But when I read this scripture, God said to me, he was short-sighted by his circumstances. He wasn't blinded by his circumstances, but he was short-sighted. What did that mean to me when the Spirit of God said that? It says that we can become so involved in the circumstances that we are in that we stop short of going into the next thing that God has for us, or the next blessing God has for us, or the next revelation. But God had a tree. Doesn't he call us trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord? Sometimes we are somebody else's tree that can break the short-sightedness off of their life, keeping them in a mundane life, spiritually, physically, financially, relationally. We're the tree. We represent Christ. And Jesus had never met Zacchaeus. But when he stopped at that tree, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I need to go to your house today. He knew who he was going to meet on the road. It was all planned. Jesus is coming down your road today. He's coming down it. You've got family members that aren't saved yet, or good friends that aren't saved yet. Lord, go down their road. Lord, go down their road today. Meet them somehow. We've been speaking that out ever since God gave us this. So, he scurried down the tree and found himself face to face with Jesus. We're in the 10-year period of pay. We're in the 10-year period of being face-to-face with God. It's the 10-year Jewish season that we're in, face-to-face. He's coming down the road to meet with us face-to-face, I believe, on a daily basis, if we will hear him. And Jesus left to go with Zacchaeus. Many in the crowd complained, look at this. Of all the people who have dinner with, he's going to eat in the house of a crook. Zacchaeus was amazed over his gracious visit to his home and joyously welcomed Jesus. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, half of all that I own I will give to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated anyone, I promise to pay them back four times as much as I stole. Jesus said to him, your repentance shows that today life has come to you. Now, the blind man's faith showed that life had come, caused life to come to him. Zacchaeus' repentance showed that life had come to him. Jesus said to him, your repentance shows that today life has come to you and your household, and that you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek out and to give life to those that are lost. Why did he say to Zacchaeus, to you and your household? Because the scripture says, thee and thy household shall be saved. But before that, in the Old Testament, it says a lamb for a house. Now, does that mean if Ruth is saved, automatically her family is saved in the natural? No, it does not mean that. They will come to Christ, because when someone comes to Christ and receives the Lamb of God and drinks his blood and eats of his body, God will orchestrate every circumstance in the people's lives of our family so that they will meet him. We've not lost a relative yet. My great-grandmother came to Christ at 96 years old. My grandfather came to Christ at 84. My great-aunt Helen came to Christ at 84. John's grandfather came to Christ, died, and he's told you that story here, and met at the gate of hell with some things, and came back and received Christ and lived 6 months and made it right with everybody he had ever wronged. I mean, listen, a lamb for a house. And if you have hardcore people in your family that you don't think are going to make it, you do what John says. You don't listen to that stuff. You begin to speak. Lord, you said a lamb for a house. You said thee and thy household shall be saved. And guess what? It will happen. So I'm leaving you with this today. I'm leaving you with Jesus is coming down your road. We want to hear him. We want to say, Jesus, go down the road of our friends and family. We want to be the tree that could be the provision for somebody to get out of their short-sightedness in life. We don't want to be the people that naysay or block someone else's view. So anyway, stand up. I'm going to pray over you. That was all she had. Lord, I thank you for the living presence of your word. I thank you that when we read your word, it comes alive and jumps off the page at us. And Lord, we see things we've never seen before in those scriptures, even though we've read them hundreds of times. God, I bless everyone here today and those watching on the web. And I say, may you see and hear Jesus come walking down your road today. I speak to your unsaved friends and family. And Lord, I just say, go down their road, Jesus. We're interceding today for you to go down their road. And let them be in the habitation that you have prepared for them to meet you. And in the timing that you've prepared for them to meet you. And Jesus, we thank you and praise you. Amen.